at the Leadtopia Cafe for episode 3 of Short Story Hunters. Nice of you all to join us. And once again, I'm here with Johnny. And I have to say, Johnny, but you really, really need a haircut. Your hair is looking a bit silly.
I couldn't agree more, Barbara. And it's this lockdown, isn't it? I haven't been able to get my hair cut since November. And even though we've got some hairdressing tools at home, I don't use them because the last time I did it, I looked absolutely preposterous.
You need garden shears.
Yeah, I was getting so bad, I was thinking of the old sort of fashioned westerns and putting a baking bowl on my head and just trimming round it, see if that helped at all.
Well, I'm not so sure, because actually my dad used to cut my hair that way, well, kind of. He used to put a ski hat on my head and then roll down to my fringe and just cut across just above the eyebrows. And then he'd roll it all the way down into my neck and then he'd cut around the back of my head. And I have to say, I was the most stunning five-year-old.
I'd love to see the school photographs of that. I really will.
I'll never show them.
Every cloud is a silver lining, as they say. And I've been sort of tapped up by the local Amdram people, and they're looking for somebody to do. They're doing Back to the Future. They're looking for somebody to do Doc. The director says I'm a shoo-in.
Yeah, I could see that would suit you. Yes, just need to act a bit mad, you know.
Great Scott, Marty! 1.21 gigawatts.
Anyway, should we do some work?
I think we ought to.
The theme for today is, well, it's animals, really, isn't it? Talking animals,
right?
I suppose.
Well, like Dr. Doolittle, that kind of thing.
Well, it's kind of animals talking and acting like humans.
Oh, well, there's a big word for that, isn't there? Anthropomorphic, something like that.
Oh, that's too big a word for foreign me.
Talking animals, then. Shall we go with that?
Yeah. Well, actually, we've got a story with pets, just the cats and dogs, and we've also got a story with snails. And so that should be interesting. I have to say, my cat loves snails, and I'm actually starting to wonder if he's running a bus service for slugs, because he keeps bringing them home.
I was wondering,
and
well,
they
I was,
stick to his fur.
I was just going to ask you, if your cat loves... Is he French, by any chance?
Why?
Liking snails?
Oh,
hello.
Come slow. Hello. Is she in? No. He's British-born kitty.
Ah, right. Okay.
But yeah, he's fluffy and he collects all sorts of things and then he brings them on the bed and I end up with slugs on the bed. So yeah, very nice waking up in the middle of the night and having a slug with me.
I'm that with
Do you talk? Did you talk to your tortoise? Did your tortoise talk back to you?
As you know, I was a bit deprived of pets growing up. I always wanted a dog or a cat, but yeah, it was always said no. But I did have a tortoise, Timmy, as I think I told you once. But he didn't say very much, and he wasn't much fun. And every time I put him on a lead, he looked a bit funny at me.
Yeah, I can imagine that. But today we have a treat for you, a very fun story about a dog. But first up is a story by Galadriel. And Galadriel normally writes dark fantasy, sort of the kind of real-world dark fantasy. But she also likes writing poetry. And she has also won some creative writing prize, I think, with her poetry. And today she had to go at something a little bit different as well. And her story is about a cat who has had enough of her owners and thinks the milk next door is better.
So let's hear that now.
The Milk Next Door is Sweeter by Galadriel. Yin's time with her family was done. The neighbours were better company. They always invited her in, and with their bigger sofa, softer bed and generosity, what was there not to love? Why be two when three offered so much more? The husband knew how to give her a good time. She would stretch out across his lap while he stroked her. He thought he was the master, but when she rubbed against him, she knew she had all the power. His wife was into her too. It wasn't easy finding a couple that enjoyed the same thing. The wife would still be in her dressing gown at this time of the morning and getting the milk in off the doorstep. Ooh, the anticipation. The gown slipping open, the milk clutched to the bosom, the beckoning in, the promised land awaited in their kitchen. Yin shimmied through their gate and slinked along their wall, loving the thought of all the attention. A scent lifted into the air around the hydrangea. Ah, the milkman had been. Anytime soon, the door would open and she would slip into her new life. She sat down on the welcome mat and waited. Then a voice came from the garden she had left behind.
You know they're only using you.
Oh, what would you know, dog's breath? Yin gave a sideways glance at the big idiot leaning over the wall with his tongue hanging out. Jealous? She spat, flashing her arse. He had tried it on once. Only once, mind.
You're a convenience until the shine rubs off.
They love me. Yin started cleaning her bottom.
Sooner or later you'll mess up, leave something disgusting on the doorstep, then it's game over.
If you didn't have balls, I'd say you were a bitch.
Beats being a cat, that's for sure.
And that was Next Door's Milk is Sweeter, written by Galadriel.
So typical cat, though, isn't it? They just see better milk up their own, and they're just not loyal.
Only when you stand at the back door, clattering a can with a big spoon, though.
Oh, he certainly works for mine. He has got very big eyes when it comes to food. Shall we go on to the next story, then, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
And the next story is by Nina. And Nina likes to write about the creatures in her garden. And she's actually, apparently, convinced that animals are just another race of humans. So you're going to meet Cedric the snail and Esther, his wife. Do you get it? Right. Esther, you know, Esther the snail, Estragon, never mind.
Yeah, I've got Escargo. Yeah, I've got Escargo. That. Sort of. Yeah.
And it's winter, and Cedric and Esther are on Nina's patio, and they're getting ready to get themselves some breakfast. And as well as being slimy, they're also very hungry.
Okay, we'll hear that, but I just have to say before we play the story in, I'm a little bit worried about Nina.
Why?
She sounds like a bit of a head case.
Well, you know, you talk to slugs, won't you?
Hey, let's hear the story, shall we?
Breakfast in the Garden by Nina. Cedric the snail and his wife Esther are waiting at the edge of the patio, staring across the big expanse of fresh snow. Cedric blinks with his feelers.
Shit, I hate that stuff.
Oh, me too, Esther sighs.
And it's deep, up to me feelers. It'll take us ages to get to the vegetable patch.
Oh, it will.
And it makes the lettuce droopy. I hate droopy lettuce.
Oh, me too.
Last time I went through the snow, my slime froze up. I mean, right underneath me. I had to wait for the sun before I could get going again.
Oh, same happened to me too.
I'm just glad they didn't throw the salt out today.
Oh, yes, me too.
Oh, well, grin and bear it, I guess. You ready?
Cedric turns his feelers towards Esther. There's something on the back.
Esther, you've got some sort of cargo on your shell.
Oh, it's just a bit of moss.
Moss?
To keep me warm, like a coat. I wasn't born with cavity wall insulation, you know. There's loads of moss on that flower pot over there.
Oh, I'll have some of that.
Cedric slid us to the flower pot. Esther twiddles her feelers.
Oh, hurry up, Ced.
Cedric grips off a piece. Lovely jubbly. And flings it into the air. The moss lands on his head.
Oh, Cedric, you look ridiculous with that silly hairdo.
Hairdo? It's me hat. Now, come on, I'm Hank Marvin. And Cedric and Esther disappear headfirst into the snow.
And that was Breakfast in the Garden by Nina.
And lastly, we have a real treat for you. Shall I call it a treat?
You could call it a treat. Some people would.
Considering what he's eating. Anyway, it's by Dave. And Dave describes himself as he's a lover of words and a father to teenage sons. And thus a purveyor of corny jokes by necessity, apparently. And he also describes himself as a thinker as well as a writer of science fiction. And he's an attorney by trade. And I've read quite a few things by Dave. And he's very, very imaginative.
Yeah, he's written some great stuff. Really enjoyable.
His story today is about Frank, who's having breakfast with his dog, Beans, while Anne the cat is still asleep on the window ledge. And as you will find out, Frank has at some point in the past eaten something a little different with lasting effects.
Frank, Anne, Beans by Dave. I ate mushrooms for the first time in my entire life. Why, you ask? Because my dog and cat started talking to me. And that was 5 years ago, and I haven't shut up since. Coffee steamed lazily up from my mug, nestled in my tired hands on the kitchen table covered in crumbs. Beans jumped up into the chair opposite. He licked the spot in front of him, one oddly devoid of crumbs and looked at me expectantly. I just had to remind him. I already gave you food. He continued to stare, his lids drooping a little on the sides. He panted as if he'd just had a run. Besides, you're fat. He looked down the side of his body impulsively, as if he'd been hit by a fly, and then looked back at me with the same dull expression. Then he flared his nostrils and sniffed, like he does when he can smell my emotions.
Bad owner.
I sighed and looked back at my mug. For a moment, the steam resembled the rounded hips and bust of a dancing girl, lazily swaying a rhythm to some exotic hypnotic song I could not hear. Did I tell you I met a girl in Ibiza? I asked.
You never been to Ibiza?
He barked a laugh. They sound the same, by the way, a dog's bark and laugh. How would you know? You're only 10. I've been alive for 43 years.
I know you've never been to Ibiza.
Do you even know what Ibiza is? He heaved a meaty sigh, flapping his drooling jowls. I continued. You just sit around the house all day barking at Jerry the mailman, who you've met, by the way, like 100 times, and just licking your balls. You don't even know what Ibiza is.
I know you haven't been there.
Yeah, well, I didn't say I met her there. I said she was there. I met a girl who was in Ibiza. There was a long, pregnant pause while Bean's eyes stared me down with an intensity reserved for prey.
You're pathetic, Frank.
He rested his head on the table. Wow, this from a guy who eats his own shit, I riposted.
That was one time. One time in my own backyard, and you won't let me live it down.
Well, that's fucking pretty disgusting is what it is.
Whatever. You wouldn't understand with your useless nose. There was something special going on in that shit. And you know what? Oh, why did I even waste my time?
On the windowsill, Anne raised her head, shot us both a haughty look, and said,
Oh, you've never been to Ibiza, Frank. And you?
She looked at Baines with disdain.
You have eaten your own excrement. On more than one occasion, I may add. I've seen you do it through the window. Remember, I'm always watching.
Beans looked at me quizzically. I whispered,
Excrement means the same as shit, Beans.
His tail wagged once more. Anne swished her tail.
Remember, I'm always watching.
She jumped off the sill, slunk past Beans, who followed her dumbly with his head, and ran off down the back of the apartment.
She'll be back. She's always coming back, right, Frank?
Yes, Beans, she's always coming back. She lives here, you know, and she doesn't go outside. Ever.
Yeah, I know. Say, you want to go for a walk?
I smiled. Sure, buddy. I stooped and patted his head. His tail thumped and he trotted over to the front door like a younger pup. Like a good dog, I thought.
Like a king, Beans thought.
And that was Frank and Beans by Dave.
And I'd just like to say, I hope everybody realises I had to go into 3 days of method acting for that. And needless to say, it's salads all the way from there.
No more chocolate cake then.
No.
But anyway, I think we need to get out of here because that bloke with the Hawaiian shirt behind the counter is looking at us a bit funny because we've been sharing a cup of coffee between us.
To tell you the truth, I think he knows we're only in here for the free Wi-Fi. Ah, here comes the music. Time to skedaddle. Bye, everyone. Catch you next time.
See you next week. And in the meantime, don't eat anything brown.